Welcome to Recurring Nightmares, episode 61. I am Chris, as always, joined by Jeff.
Hello, hello.
And today we have a pair of sci-fi films that I've made Jeff watch from the early 2010s. But before we get to that wonderful doubleheader of movies, third movies in sci-fi franchises. Jeff, what have you been up to for the past month?
Mostly a lot of TV. TV's just been on fire lately. New Andor's out. Been watching that. What the hell else? Last of Us is back. But I guess the one, most of everything I'm watching is good. I'd say there's this new John Hamm show on Apple that is not very good, but I'm watching that too. but, you know, related more to what we usually talk about on here, there was a new season of Black Mirror that just dropped in early April. And yeah. I was a huge fan of the show back when it started. In recent years, it has not been as good. And then they also did that like movie Bandersnatch, which was an adventure. I also did not think was good. So I was like, you know, we'll see. And the whole season is all really good. The first one is like super dark, and a lot of people like notice that one as like, you know, we're saying, oh, this is the best one. It starts off with the best one. And that one is called, I think, Common People. And basically, this guy's wife needs this procedure to stay alive. But they put like, they basically like take out part of her brain and put a synthetic brain in there, but it's kind of like just a receiver. And then the part of the brain they took away from her, and they stream it to her, and it's like a streaming service. So she has to like pay this to stay alive. And then they slowly realize there's a lot of like you know, little details you could miss on when you get pitched this. You could only go in areas where they have good coverage. And then they slowly do what any says, which is, you know, hey, you want the plus version without ads? And if you don't get the plus version, like, she'll just like, someone will be talking to her about something and she'll just do an ad for whatever they're talking about. it goes dark places, and it's like you're watching it and you're just like, yeah, if they ever had tech like this, this is exactly what they'd do with it. There's the second episode, I had no idea what the hell was going on. It seemed to be some sort of Mandela effect thing. Once you find out what's going on with that, it's pretty wild. There's one where Issa Rae stars as like a movie star who gets to do a remake of a movie, but the way they're doing it is by like inserting her consciousness into like a AI model of the movie. It's one that first I was like, this is okay, but by the end of it, I really loved it. Then there's one with Paul Giamatti called Eulogy. And I think it's the best one of the season. It's just a beautiful hour of TV. And it's not really super Black Mirror-y. Like, I'd say like the sci-fi, the tech angle is like very one. Paul Giamatti plays this cranky old man who gets contacted by this eulogy service. And they're like, yeah, we know that you used to know this lady, she just died, and we'd like to you to provide some memories for us. We have like, they basically send them a little memory device that like it just kind of helps prod your memories. Like if you give it a photo, it'll let you stand inside the photo, and you could, you know, it's supposed to like jog your memory.
Okay.
And it's you know, it turns out it was some girl he dated in college, and it ended badly, and it's just a really beautiful episode. It's like up there with like San Junipero and stuff like that. So Black Mirror like knocked it out of the park this season. There nice. wasn't there wasn't one I really like. There's one I expected to dislike because they're like, oh, this is tied to Bandersnatch, and it's a video game related one where this guy attains an alpha build of this video game in the 90s. That's kind of like Sims. It's basically The Sims, but all the little Sims are AIs, and they could get smarter with time. And he's been playing this like secret alpha build of this game since the 90s, I'd say the only one I didn't love is there's a sequel to USS Callister. I don't know if you remember that one. It's kind of like the Star Trek-y one.
Okay, yeah, I think I remember.
What's his name? Can't think of his name now. But that one, I was just like, it wasn't as good as the first one. So at least 6 of the 7, though, are huge recommends. So if you've ever been a fan of Black Mirror, it's definitely worth going back and giving these episodes a shot. Like I said, especially Giamatti said, all very good. I saw a couple horror movies. Start with the small one first, because I think there's another one that we both saw. But I saw one, it's like a Shudder or original called The Rule of Jenny Penn. And for a Shudder original movie, it's got two really big actors in it. It's got Jeffrey Rush and John Lithgow.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeffrey Rush plays a judge who has a stroke and somehow ends up in a nursing home. And the movie really plays on, like, if you have a fear of getting old and being in a nursing home, and your body's starting to fall apart on you, and you're kind of being, you know, like a prisoner in your own body as it like falls apart. This is gonna play off that fear. But then on top of it, it throws in John Lithgow, another guy, like just another old man who like is living in the nursing home, and he's like terrorizing all of his, you know, neighbors in there. And John Lithgow is really fun as the villain in it. And what he does to these people is just so like disturbing and degrading. And you're just like, oh my God, like what a nightmare to be trapped in a situation. Doesn't have the strongest ending, I'd say, but if you have a Shudder sub, it's definitely one of the better originals, and a ton of their originals. This was pretty solid little horror movie. Again, a little weak at the end, but other than that, I'd recommend it.
Might give it a go before I pull the plug on Shudder. They're raising their price up to, I think it's like $9 now a month. So I'll pick and choose when I have it going forward.
Yeah, that's understandable. I mean, they got people for Joe Bob, especially now since they're doing the new season. They're doing one episode a month throughout the entire year, so like it's never off season. So you know, because people would just get the sub just for him and then stop. They figured a trick around that.
Make you, because if you want to watch it, you gotta be on for the month.
Yeah, and but yeah, like, I could totally see if you're not a Joe Bob person, like why you would just get a month here and there and just watch the few movies that, you know, you wanted to see on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd recommend it. Again, it's not like a super strong recommend, but I found John Lithgow very disturbing in it and very good in it.
Nice.
Also got to see one of the big new movies of the year, which is an original horror film from Ryan Coogler called Sinners. And I believe you saw this too.
I did.
What'd you think?
It's a very good vampire movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's set in like the 1930s, mm-hmm. I think. It's like, yeah before World War II, in Mississippi, southern, very southern. B. Jordan, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan. He plays the two brothers that are, they're opening up like a little bar or something, like a club, for I guess for anybody, but this first night for black people down there who, you know, work in the fields, and they're just opening this up. I guess they're on the run or something from Chicago. Kind of comes out.
It's sort of spoilery, but yeah, like they got all this booze from somewhere.
They did something. They're opening up a bar. And then vampires show up. and it's very traditional vampires. Like, it is, hey, can I come in, vampires? Like,
yeah,
they cannot come into your dwelling without your permission.
They have a lot of fun with that. There's a very fun scene with someone trying to get back in. Yeah.
So some really good stuff, I think. It gets pretty violent in the back half, and fun. It's just a damn fun movie. Like, it's a vampire movie, but it's a damn good one.
It's also kind of a big budget kind of mainstream horror movie, which you don't get a ton of.
Right.
And, you know, it's a good one. You know, it's fun to have this there. Also, very horny movie. Like,
I was very
surprised by that. Like, there is an insane amount of talking about cunnilingus.
Yes.
We'll put it nicely. There's a lot of talk about that. There's also, like, sex scenes. There's Haley Stanfield saying some very raunchy shit and doing very raunchy shit. She, like, spits in someone's mouth at some point while they're having sex. I was like, Jesus. I liked it a lot, but go ahead.
Yeah, so that specifically is how, like, they transfer the vampirism. Like, so you have to have, like, some of the material. Like, that's normal vampire shit. It's like, oh, you have to, like, drink a little bit of my blood to become a vampire. So, like, that they Coogler, like, uses this weird spit thing that's, like, it's kind of gross. You know.
the dude seemed to be enjoying it. So yeah. He didn't know what she's up to.
No, but, no.
I you know, it's cool too that it's kind of secretly a musical.
Yeah,
it's not high musical, but it is. Like, the vampires do, like, this awesome, like, Irish. I really enjoyed the vampire songs in it.
They come and play some music, and there's a bunch of blues, and
the movie's about a big old
musical number.
Yeah, there's a big kind of bold musical number they do in the middle of it. I don't want to spoil all the thing for people who haven't seen it, but just to give you an idea, yeah, music is very, like, central to it. Like, it's central to the plot and the themes of it. I really don't have much bad to say, but I do, like, if I had some nitpicks, I'd say I thought it was a little slow in the first half. It's very much
a little while to get going. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very similar to From Dusk Till Dawn, where that movie is like, it's like kind of like these two brothers doing crimes for the first half of it. And then it becomes a vampire movie in a bar, which is, this is exactly that. But, like, I would say I was more into the first half of From Dusk Till Dawn back in the day. I know I'm probably alone on this.
That's more of, like, the first half of From Dusk Till Dawn is, like, kind of like a crime caper, right? Like, they're trying to get to Mexico, get away.
And it feels like a Tarantino. I mean, the whole movie kind of feels like a Tarantino movie because it kind of is, you know?
Yeah. This is like, you're not really sure what's going on at first. And, like, you know, it's a vampire movie, so, like, when's the vampire showing up?
It's a whole lot of, like, going around town planning for this, you know, grand opening party. You know what I mean?
Which, like, it is slow, but I kind of like, because, like, you get to meet all the main characters. So, like, you meet Cornbread, played by Omar Miller, who I love him wherever he shows up.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell was
Al Rolando as the alcoholic musician.
Yeah. Who's the played a Smokes girlfriend? wife, ex-wife, or whatever, the mom of his kid.
I thought it was his mom.
Yeah, I'm gonna mess up her name, but yeah, she, you thought it was his mom.
I mean, until it goes, yeah. I guess that's another nitpick I had is like sometimes I was confused. Like, well, for one, that scene, and I was not the like I said that as soon as I got home, and then I saw like a viral tweet like 2 days later saying the same thing. Like, did y'all think that was his mom until she's grabbed his junk? And I was like, yes, I did. So
she does seem older, like in that. I mean, she seemed older throughout the whole movie. Like,
not just that. It was like, I thought like there was a grave outside. I thought it was his dad's grave. So I was like, it made sense in my head that it was his mom's house, you know, but no.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, it turns out it was his wife's house. It was his daughter's grave, which they do explain in like shortly after in that scene. But,
yes.
Yeah.
Anyways, my other little nitpick stuff is everybody, I was like, oh, they did such a good job. Because, like, Michael B. Jordan plays twins in it, so it's, like, two of them.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, they do such a good job of differentiating them and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I did not get that. I was confused who was who the whole movie.
No, they yeah, they play twins outside of the fact that, like, in some scenes, like, one of them's wearing a blue hat, one of them's wearing a red hat.
Yeah.
Like, and when they're separated, like, because then they're, you know, they're
doing coupled
by their name. Yeah. So, but when they are together, it is very like, who the fuck is who?
I had no idea. And like, to the point where there's a part where one of them goes to have sex, and I was like, is he stealing his brother's girl or is he his brother? Like, I was like, what is going on here? I don't know. I saw it get a lot of praise saying, oh, like the twin stuff is seamless and you can always tell who's who. And I was like, I did not feel that way. I feel like during rewatches, you'll be able to differentiate more, but they are, I found their personality and their mannerisms too similar. Like, you know, like he had to do something more. Anyways, though, that's just a pick. It's a fun movie.
If you do watch it, stick through. I don't think it doesn't take long. Like the credits start and then there's like another scene.
Yeah. I did not get to see this.
There's no need to stay there's another scene after all the credits. There's no need to stay for that one. But if you kind of want to get a little bit more, stay after the credits kick in. Because there'll be a scene that kind of jumps forward in time, and you get to experience.
Oh yeah, I heard about it. Yeah.
The Sammy. You know, he's the guitar player in the movie, the cousin of Smoke and Stack. Things jump forward. It's kind of a neat scene, and it sets it up for something that could potentially, like, it's doing really well. So.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a potential for, you know, I don't think it needs a sequel, but they have left it open that you could do something in this universe again. So
I wouldn't be surprised if they do it. I did kind of hear what it is, but unfortunately I didn't get to see the scene. I knew there was credit scenes, but it was so hot in our theater, I just wanted to go. Mm. It's already kind of a long movie to begin with. It's a little over 2 hours, so it's just like,
yeah,
all right, time to go. I'll see it again at some point. I'll see what it is. But yeah, it's good. That's kind of it for me.
Well, I've only seen one other film, which I believe you told me about. I felt with the Pope dying this month that. It made sense to finally sit down and watch Conclave. And yeah, that's a really good movie.
You enjoyed it, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it is just a straight political drama. That deals with, you know, the Conclave, the voting for the new Pope after the old Pope dies. There's some like cool twists and turns, and you see some of the cardinals doing nefarious things to get votes, and it's all really interesting. It's kind of pushed from an idealistic, let's like the Catholic Church is in its current iteration, it's not super progressive, but the previous Pope was he was much more forgiving of things that in the past the Catholic Church was, you know, very condemning of. They go into that here. About the liberal cardinals and the very conservative cardinals. The where it ends up is, I don't know. I don't know if the actual Catholic Church would be accepting of what happens there, but I liked it. I think it's good. All the performances are great. So
yeah, it's a good adult drama. There's good cast. The director, I think, is really good. I think he directs the hell out of this. And the music, I think the score is really good.
It's almost like there's like a thriller, kind of almost a horror kind of feel to it. It's like, and it's not. It's just like, you know, something political is going to happen next. Good stuff. Yeah. I don't remember if it won any awards or award season, but
I want to say I called it winning best. I think it's adapted screenplay, and it may
have. Okay, yeah, it is based on a book. So
I was all in tank for it because I was like, this is a great script, and I want to say I was right. Like, because I got very few answers wrong on the Oscars, so I think I was right on that one. And if so, it deserved it. It's I'm happy you liked it because it's a tough sell. It's like, hey, do you want to watch a movie about the Pope being selected? You know, but it's but like if you're into politics, it's basically left versus right, and like you were kind of saying, it strangely mirrors real life in that the Pope in the movie is similar to our Pope that just died.
Yes,
in that for the Catholic Church, he was pretty progressive.
Yes.
And again, when I was watching it, it definitely, you know, it was right after the election. It really made me think of the election that just happened, you know, for president of the U.S., you know. It's just like, how do we stop this monster? You know what I mean? Like, and it, like you said, like, I think maybe the movie's a little too hopeful, but that's okay.
It's still great. I mean, it works as a movie. Like,
yeah,
it's not a documentary on the Catholic Church and... it just kind of gives you a little bit of an insight onto how that all operates.
Yeah. I'm surprised you checked it out, but I'm happy you did and you liked it. It's one of those ones where it's like, you just tell people, yeah, it was really good, but it's just really hard to sell it to people.
I mean, I'm kind of predisposed to at least being interested by religious themes. So
yeah,
But yeah, I think just for the acting and kind of seeing the insight into how the Catholic Church operates, it's kind of neat. So give it a go, you know, with reservations, obviously. But and that will bring us to our sci-fi doubleheader here. I guess we'll just get right into it. We're gonna start off. We're pitting Predators from 2010 versus Riddick from 2013. Both of these films are the third films in their franchises. They are both sci-fi space monster films. And one is better than the other, so. we're going to kick off with 2010's Predators.
What's the last thing you remembered?
All of a sudden there was a light, and then I was falling.
So who are you?
I was supposed to be executed 2 days ago.
And I was in combat. So was I.
Black Ops. Who would do this to us?
Chosen
what?
We're all brought here for the same purpose. We're being hunted.
What?
This planet is a game preserve. And we're the game.
Which was directed by Nimrod. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Antal, it's a Hungarian director. He was hired by Robert Rodriguez to direct this.
So I forgot that this was a Robert Rodriguez, was this Troublemaker Studios or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally forgot that.
Stacked cast. On this thing, we'll get to Amazing. Them in a second.
Yeah.
It's released in July 2010. Budget of $40 million, made $127 million at the Jeez. International box office. So did okay.
Yeah.
Stacked cast, as I said. So we got Adrian Brody, Topher Grace, probably at the height of his kind of time going on, Walton Goggins, Lawrence Fishburne. Why am I drawing a blank on? He's only in it very shortly. But
Marshall Lee.
Oh yeah, he's in it too. I was thinking of Danny Trejo, but because Danny Trejo is in it as well.
I watched this weeks ago. Can you tell?
yeah. Well, if there's so many people, and almost everybody dies. So,
dude, all time cast though. Like that's just talent on top of talent on top of talent.
Good cast. This movie just kicks off right away too.
Like a battle royale.
Yeah, it kicks in with Adrian Brody skydiving, but. He's just woken up, so he doesn't really know he's skydiving. He wakes up just in time to kind of for the chute to go off. He lands, and then this group of people that have been dropped into this jungle area come together. And it doesn't take long for them to kind of realize that they're not in Kansas anymore. They're not in the they're not in the Amazon jungle. They haven't just been kidnapped from, you know, where they were and dropped somewhere. They have been taken off world somehow, which they all seem very okay with that. and that they're being hunted. They've been dropped in as prey. And it's kind of like they are all killers of some sort. And so the predators have brought them here to hunt them. And it's fun
do they ever explicitly, or is just like, you just infer that like, oh yeah, okay. They're all killers. So the predators wanted like, you know, tough prey to like, you know,
so they do,
they do.
Yeah. They do kind of lay that out where it's like, they don't really know why they're there at first, but then, they kind of start putting it through. So Adrian Brody's character, I'm drawing a blank on his name, Royce. Royce kind of like, he's the first one to kind of realize that, hey, we're being hunted. Like the things that are happening, because there's these predator dogs that get released on them at one point. These are all things that like hunters would do to, you know, to prey. And then they start all piecing together that they are all killers of some sort. And I think it's only when they finally meet Lawrence Fishburne that it's kind of all put together that they are put together on this planet. They've been kidnapped to be hunted by these predators. So, so they it's a very simple movie. Very, very simple, because it is just they get dropped on the planet, the predators start hunting them, picking them off one by one, and I'm like, that's the fun part of it, is like seeing how the predators are picking them off. I think Danny Trejo is, if he's not the first, I think somebody else is the first to die, but that's only because his chute didn't open or something. So Danny Trejo's character is like the first one to die. And the predators have like, you know, if we've ever seen a predator movie, they have all sorts of stealth tech and high tech stuff, and they've taken his voice and are throwing it, trying to get the other humans to kind of move in on them, but they all back away. He's already dead. Like he was already dead from the beginning. So that's neat. Then there's like this whole area where they're attacked by traps and stuff. There's like some really good action in it. And then the dialogue starts kind of really kicking in. Like they all have really good distinct, they're all caricatures. They're all archetypes of some sort, but they all have like a personality to them. And maybe the worst one is Walt Goggins.
Like, yeah,
who was like on death row, and he just casually like throws out that he's like gonna do a bunch of coke and rape women if they ever get off this planet.
Like, yeah, and he's like, if we ever get out of here, first thing we're gonna do is a bunch of cocaine and rape some fine bitches. And it's like, whoa, okay. I mean, like his whole character is like this total scoundrel. Like, total, like,
yeah,
he's probably the worst of them. But he's like also supposed to be like with the heart of gold. You know,
yeah, like, because at the end he kind of like he knows he's going to die, but instead of just being like, all right, well, fuck all the rest of them, like he tries to help them escape. And they all do come together at some point, and kind of like join, and like you kind of feel good about this group, even if you know they're all from different sorts of backgrounds and stuff.
When he says that about like, if I ever get out of here, I'm gonna do a bunch of cocaine and rape so many fine bitches, it was 5 p.m. bitch raping time. It's like, what?
It's just. And it's like, okay. I mean, I don't think you would not get that dialogue today in a movie.
No, none of that.
Walt Goggins has some really good lines. Like, there's the one woman in this group, Isabel, and she's pretty badass. She's like the co-lead here with Adrian Brody, but she's walking by. Walt Goggins is just like staring at her ass.
Oh yeah. He's like, your ass is awesome.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So eventually they come across Lawrence Fishburne, who is not part of their group. He has been there for a little bit. You're not sure for how long, but seems quite some time. And he has lost his fucking mind. Like, he's talking to somebody else. It's not there.
When they meet him, isn't he wearing like a predator mask?
Yes.
And they're like, so someone says, what the fuck are you? He pulls off the mask. He's like, I'm alive. He's so fun in it. Yeah.
It's a fun line too. It's just like,
yeah.
Everybody seems to be having a good time in this movie. Like, it's super campy. And they're really just following along kind of to the original Predator. Like, monster is hunting us in the woods. and we're trying to survive, and it's slowly picking us off one by one. And that's the fun here. It's like, you know, with the kills and the slight action sequences up until you get to the end where you finally get the big, you know, kind of the big battle, which I think it's fine. But it's maybe not quite as much fun. Also, everybody is almost dead at that point. So it's like Topher Grace, Alice Braga, and Adrian Brody are the only ones left alive at that point. So,
but you do get a little samurai sword fight with a predator.
Oh, yeah, I completely forgot about that guy. That's a cool scene, too. Like,
yeah, it's all kind of overshadowed by them doing this big reveal near the end. I don't know how you don't see it coming. I don't know. Like, they're all killers, right? What's this nerdy doctor doing here? It's like, well, obviously he was not just a nerdy doctor. He was nefarious in some way.
Yeah. And like he Topher Grace he wants to be there. Everybody else is like, I want to go home. Like, I want to stay here. Like, these are my people. Like, man, they want to kill you too, dude. So yeah, he's weird right from the beginning. So something's off about him.
And it's just too obvious. Like, he sticks out from the, like, yeah, he's weird, but he sticks out from the whole group because everyone else is like, yeah, like, oh, you have Wang Gong as in prison. I'm a mercenary, whatever. And then you have this nerdy doctor. It's like, well, clearly they picked this doctor for some reason. It's not terrible, though. Like, it adds something to the movie, I think. Like, him getting to do a villain turn at the end is fun.
And, yeah, it's very short-lived. It's like Adrian Brody kind of leaves behind. So Topher Grace is Edwin. Twice he gets saved. Once he's in the bunker where Lawrence Fishburne goes crazy and they're trying to escape a predator down there, and he kind of gets locked out and the big Russian guy saves him. And then Walt Goggins, I think, Walt Goggins might already be dead at that point.
He has a spine ripped out, Mortal Kombat style.
So he lives a little bit longer, but yes, he gets his whole spine whipped out, and then this predator is waving his spine and skull around. That's in awesome. There. But the Russian guy saves Topher Grace, and then blows himself up in some. It's maybe the worst looking thing in the film, like the explosion. It's all very CG. And the film mostly holds up, I think, like visually. It's not bad. No. It's this scene in particular is like, oh, that doesn't look great. It kind of stands. The only thing that stands out.
It holds up better than a movie from 2013.
Yeah, no,
three years after we'll
get to that. Yes, like and I think mostly because they shoot a lot of this practically. Like, the Predator, they have to do like some stuff with the Predator with his invisibility cloaking and stuff. But for the most part, they're filming in a jungle and wooded areas in abandoned buildings. So it's just this one big explosion that kind of doesn't look right. So everything else kind of holds up really well. And it lives by the fact that the performances are fun and the action is fun. But Topher Grace, he ends up gets his foot caught in like a bear trap or something. Adrian Brody is just like, fuck this dude. Like, we got to leave him. Like, we got to get to this spaceship and get the fuck out of here. And Isabel's like, I can't leave him behind. And so she like gets him out of the bear trap and they stumble along, but Royce has left. Adrian Brody's character has gone off. And they see the ship leave. And that's when Topher Grace, like, I don't know, like Isabel says something about like, don't worry, if the predator comes for us, like, I'll I'll make it quick for both of us. And he goes, no, you won't. And like stabs her with this neurotoxin that he's explained earlier in the film. Like, yeah, you don't want to touch that because it's going to, you know, you'll be paralyzed.
And the moment he discovers a neurotoxin on some planet, like, right. And the moment he does that, I'm like, that's coming back. Like, and he's going to do something sick and twisted with that.
And he does.
Like, I don't know. It's just, I would love to talk to the person that was like, oh my God, what a twist. You know, it's like, I don't know. It seemed pretty obvious to me.
So if you've watched a movie before, you can kind of pick this piece out.
It's not a knock against the movie, because again, I think it just adds an element that's fun. Yeah. Like, that's just, you know, because it's largely like, I think you said this, you're like, it's kind of the first movie, but you know, that adds an element. The premise, like the setup premise, adds an element to it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. This came out at a time when I remember a lot of these kind of like manhunt type films. Like, there was one with Stone Cold Steve Austin around this time where a bunch of convicts were like dropped, and there were a few of these like where, oh, we're going to drop like 10 people and, you know, either humans are hunting them or aliens are hunting them. This one holds up pretty well, I think, from that era, though. It helps that it's from the Predator franchise as well. So,
sure. I remember really enjoying it when I first saw it, because it reminded me of a story I wrote. I wrote a story probably 10 years before this came out where everyone... It's very similar beginning. It's like all these people wake up somewhere, they're on frozen, and they slowly realize that they're all like serial killers or something. Except in my story, it was that they were in hell. Like, that was like the we're actually in hell. That's why we're all killers. But like, I remember watching this movie and being like, oh man, that's like my idea, you know. It's a Predator movie. Like, I really dug it. Completely forgot 100% of this movie somehow. Haven't watched it since it came out. But I thought I had a fun time rewatching it. I don't know.
Yeah, me too. Like, it's not amazing, and I probably put it in the like the middle of the Predator franchise. Like,
yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, because what? Like, I would put Predator and Prey above it.
Yes.
And I'd probably put this above, maybe The Predator I would put above it too. Maybe.
Would you?
Maybe. I haven't seen it recently, so.
Okay. Like, for the Predator movies is like, I'm not like a super fan of the series, but I'm just kind of a sucker for the series. Where like, every one of my see, you know.
Yeah, they are.
And like, if I had the place... Too. No. I like Predator.
You like Predator too?
Predator too. I like it.
It's like the one film I'm not a fan of in the entire franchise.
So like I've seen the whole franchise and I've liked them all, and I would probably put like Predators and Predator 2 kind of equal, but I have never seen and I probably will do this now because it just feels like I have to do this, but I've never seen like the Alien versus. I don't know why. I just never have. There's two or three of them.
There's two. I'll be interested to hear what you like if you watch them, how you would feel about them.
Compelled.
I like one of them and I dislike the other one, and people seem to be flipped on that. Like, I like the first one.
Oh yeah.
And people are like, oh, that was dumb. And it is. It's a dumb movie. It's a Paul W.S. Anderson movie. Like, it's definitely dumb. But then people like Alien vs. Predator Requiem, they think it's just like, because it's more violent, more gory, it's just like, you can't see shit in that film. It's not as fun. Like, it's not as fun as the first one. But also, the Predator kind of like teams up with somebody in the first one. That's kind of cool, I think.
Okay. But all the mainline ones, all the mainline ones I've seen and I like them all. I feel like the one that got shit on the most was the Predator,
Shane Black.
Yeah, yep. I enjoyed that one too. And then, was that?
I like that one too. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but like that one, like I think, like you, I've not watched it.
I haven't watched it since I saw it in theaters. Yes, 2018, so 7 years ago. But I remember liking it at the time.
I think I'd rate them like I would put like all the sequels as kind of equal. Well, not all, like two Predators and The Predator, I would kind of almost put on equal footing. And then there's the original, and I think my favorite might be Prey.
Prey's really seen good. It
incredible. Yeah. We got a new one coming, so good timing on this, Chris.
Predator Badlands just announced recently. I did not know it was coming.
No.
It just kind of came out of nowhere, and they were like, hey, this will be out in November. And it's going to be in theaters because Prey was not. Prey was direct to Hulu. So it's Dan Trachtenberg again, who did Prey. So I'm kind of excited. And this one takes place, looks like not on Earth again. So I don't know. We'll see.
He's going wild with it. Yeah. I don't even know what it is. I just saw glimpses and there's like a dude with a sword. And I'm like, okay. Whatever,
man. Yep. Looks fun. So, I think I'm with you. I think the Predator franchise is mostly kind of fun. So,
yeah.
I don't like Predator, so.
You should give it another chance. But, none of them are like the most amazing movie ever. Like, I guess, you know.
No. Not even the original. Like,
the first one's good action movie.
It's classic.
Yeah, it's classic. Yeah. I think the showdown, I still remember watching. I caught it on TV in a hotel room while I was on vacation as a little kid. And watching that climax with Schwarzenegger, like, setting up the traps and you know, what the fuck are you? Like, it was just so fucking awesome. So, like, I think that always just kind of be the one just because of that. It's just classic, but Prey, man, there's parts in Prey that like really kind of like revved me up. I was like, damn, that was awesome. Like, and the rest of them though are just kind of like enjoyable throwaway almost movies, but like I don't have any real issue with any of them.
I just found this out just kind of I'm on the Predators wiki right now. There is another Predator film, it's an anthology film coming out in June, directed by Dan Trachtenberg and somebody else. It's an animated film, but
I think I caught that. Yeah.
So this is the year of the Predator.
Aliens, aliens going bonkers. Like, they have
Alien Earth.
Look at the TV show. Anyways, though, I guess I'll get my final thoughts on this one. I think Predators has two really great things going for it. It has one of the most amazing casts I've ever seen. Like, it's insane. And also, when you look at like the Letterboxd reviews and maybe even reviews at the time, a lot of them were like, "Oh, LOL, Adrian Brody as an action star." I totally believed him as like this hard ass dude. You don't need, you know, if you need muscles to be like an action star, explain Bruce Willis, explain Clint Eastwood. Like, I don't understand.
You don't
why? He's a thin dude, but so what? Like, he totally sells it here. Like, he has some great lines. There's one, I think it's at the very end when he kills the last person. They're like, "You're not a good dude." He's like, "No, I'm not. I'm fast." Thought that was great.
Good line.
And so it has that amazing cast. I also think the premise is awesome. Like, I think the premise of we're going to take a bunch of killers and the predators are going to abduct them and bring them to their home planet to hunt them in their home, you know, in their territory as practice. I think it's a great premise. But the movie overall is like not a total home run. because for I forgot all of it, and I'll forget all of it again, I think, except the twist with Topher Grace. And like for a reason, it doesn't stick out in my head like the original or even part two or even Prey. But going back, I was like, I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay. I'm right there with you. I think it is. It's a fun film. I think it, as I said, holds up real well for what it is.
Yeah, for that era.
And I think, yeah, from 2010, like the thing, era,
a lot of things don't hold.
Right, and this one kind of does, like it, because it's such a simple, premise, and they just kind of take everything that worked from the original Predator and move forward with it here. They just, you know, it's no longer on Earth. It's on a jungle planet somewhere. But the predators are still hunting you. And I think, like you, Jeff, the premise of the predators knowing, like, all right, these are the, like, 7-8 biggest badasses that we can harvest from Earth right now. We're going to take them and bring them and put them on, like, a game preserve planet and hunt them down. It's just a fun fucking idea.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I completely forgot that Robert Rodriguez was involved in this. And
it makes sense, though, because it's just trying to be fun. Like, I don't think he's a great director, yeah, but he tries to have fun, you know?
Yeah, like, what... There are stuff that I do not like from him, but yeah, in general, yeah, he just does stuff... It's a good time. Like, he's just out there making movies. Like,
yeah,
he's not making popcorn cinema. Yes. Yeah. And he's generally pretty good at it. I don't know if he's done anything recently, but, that error of his was also good, because he did Planet Terror a few years before that. And
love that movie.
Machete was right around then. So good stuff from him. And I don't know what this director has done since Predators. In fact, I'm looking, none of this is jumping out at me. He did a movie called Vacancy that I saw.
I don't know if I saw that,
with Kate Beckinsale and Luke Wilson. It's
in that era.
Yeah, 2007. So it was like a 2007 slasher type film. So anyway, yes, I'm right there with you. I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10. And I think if you haven't seen Predators in a while, go back and give it a shot. I think you might come away going, that was a good time.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's, if you're in the mood for a Predator movie, and hey, instead of putting the original that you've seen 8 million times on, throw this on. It's not bad.
And it's a good time to do it, as Jeff and I said, you know, this is the year of the Predator, evidently, so lots of Predator stuff coming. And a movie that doesn't hold up so well.
Oh, we'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, we will judge this film. Riddick from 2013, it is the third movie that started with Pitch Black, followed up with The Chronicles of Riddick in 2004, and then it was dormant for 9 years until David Twohy and Vin Diesel brought it back. And I'll say this, when it came out, I remember liking this movie.
Okay.
And when, you know, on this rewatch for this, I did not remember the first half of this movie. There's a reason for that. We'll get into it. But directed by David Twohy, written by David Twohy, produced by Vin Diesel, because he needs to be all over the place for this. Budget of $38 million, so roughly in line with where Predators was, and it brought in a box office worldwide of 98.3. So didn't quite do as well as Predators did a few years earlier. Since this time, both David Twohy and Vin Diesel have been trying to get a fourth Riddick movie off the floor. This has a cast though. Carl Urban, Dave Bautista, who has done great stuff. Maybe not great stuff, but he has made a name for himself. Yeah. Since this movie, Katie Sackhoff. I think they're probably the three big ones.
And it's not
Predators, but like that's a decent, like Carl Urban is a pretty big name.
I see what this movie is.
Sure.
I don't know. He's the guy in Dread, right?
He's in Dread, and he was in some movie recently too that was. I thought you liked. I can't remember. Anyway, So Riddick.
Don't know how many times I've been crossed off the list and left for dead. So this ain't nothing new. Bounty hunters.
I've been hunting Riddick for 10 years. He's the most dangerous man we've ever tracked.
Bounty's been doubled.
I've come to collect your head in a box, right here.
So yet again, we play for blood.
This is a man who sees in the dark. So watch out for surprise attacks.
What is it?
One down. Three down. You get where I'm going with this.
Again!
Hold him down.
What is happening?
Time's up.
Yeah, let's cut him loose.
Jeff, what is your experience understanding of the Chronicles of Riddick?
Okay,
franchise of that this is associated with.
This is a somewhat of a problem because I think I've seen Pitch Black, and
okay.
I remember thinking it was pretty good. Like, you know, it would be like a 3-star or something like that.
It's an alien knockoff.
Then there was the Chronicles of Riddick, I think it's called Escape from Butcher Bay, which was an Xbox original, like the original Xbox game.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So that game, I used to hang out with my buddy down the street's house all the time. Like, dude, that's like twice my age, but we both worked at the same pizza place. And he had an Xbox, he had that game, and I watched pretty much most of that game in one night while I was just drinking beers, watching him play the game. And that seemed like a cool game. That's what I know of Riddick. And sort of a problem here, because I don't feel like this movie explains anything that well.
Yeah, so Pitch Black happens. And it, just to give you clarity, the Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay, the game you're familiar with, takes place before Pitch Black.
Yeah, so it has nothing to do with the Chronicles of Riddick, the movie. They're just
That is the universe. You know what they should have done? That these people have created.
They should have made Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay, the third movie. I think that would be a better movie. Sure. A Prison Break? That's what the game was, right? Like a Prison Break?
Yeah, it was a Prison Break. Yes. And that leads directly into Pitch Black, which Pitch Black was, you know, it's an alien knockoff where they're on a planet where, you know, at night, these alien creatures attack. Otherwise, they burrow and they're not around. So that was in 2000. And it's a decent, I think you're right, probably a 3-star film. I probably was higher on it, and I'm afraid, terrified.
You're not the only one.
To go back and watch it.
I'll never. Go.
No, it's like that. I don't want to, like, sour myself on it.
I remember the time, like, I remember Ebert, like, loving it, and I was just kind of like, oh, cool. I had to check it out. I didn't see it in the theaters. I think I saw it on DVD or, you know, whatever. But not a whole lot of memory of that one. So it's like going into this, it's like going in blind, like to a third movie, which you could do with some movies if they like explain it. And they like here, I don't think they really.
No. So the Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah.
Let me lay this out for you, Jeff. The Chronicles of Riddick comes out in 2004. And it is, you know, it picks up sometime after Pitch Black. And there's a whole bunch of nonsense. It is like some weird space epic opera type thing where at the end of it, Riddick has taken over this cult called the Necromongers, which I had forgotten all of this shit. So he becomes like the leader, the king of the Necromongers. And that is where Riddick picks up. Except it doesn't really, like, Riddick starts out with him just on this fucking planet being chased by dogs. But then there's a flashback that kind of lays out, we see Carl Urban and all of that, where it's all, he's king of these necromongers, but his second in command after multiple assassination attempts, his second in command is like, hey, they're going to keep trying to kill you unless you join our cult fully. And he's like, I don't want to join your fucking cult. I just want to go home. Get me a ship. Take me home. And I'll leave y'all the fuck alone. Yeah. And so they're like, sure, we'll do that. He hops on board this ship. They take him to this fucking planet. He's like, this ain't home. And then he's attacked. He ends up stranded on this fucking shit-ass planet with, like, sulfur, like, water and shit. And
he kills, like, everybody except for the one dude.
Yep. Who gets away.
Again, and that, you figure, this guy's coming back. Nope. I don't think, right? Like,
so, that's another question I have for you. Which version of Riddick did you watch?
I purposely chose the one that was 10 minutes shorter.
Yep. So, it was probably the right call. For some reason, I own this movie, and the version I own is the director's cut, which is like 10 minutes longer than the original. And that guy does come back in the director's cut. Vin Diesel.
Feels like a thing that should happen. It's like Sinners. Like, you have to edit. I'm not going to spoil the edit Sinners, but you know, at the end of Sinners, you're like, oh, there's one thing that's unresolved that then they still have to like double back to. And that's like a cherry on top in that movie. But
yes. So in the director's cut, they do double back to it. And he does, Riddick does ultimately end up killing that dude left him stranded there.
That would give your movie, your narrative, a certain roundness where there's a beginning and middle and end.
This is all of this bullshit, all this world building, and it's dull as fuck. is like the first hour and 10 minutes of Riddick. Nothing is going on in this fucking movie except for bad aliens and CGI dogs, and like it's just like bad CG, and everything looks like it's filmed on like a green screen.
Yeah.
Like it the first hour and 10 minutes of this is fucking atrocious.
I don't want to pass over the very beginning, though, where he's giving this like voiceover.
Oh, the monologue.
He's left for dead. He's buried. And he gives this voiceover. And I love when a movie tells me this ain't nothing new. Like, he literally says that, like, I've been left for dead, buried, left for dead. This ain't nothing new. I'm like, yeah, I love when a movie tells me you've seen this before. But
my so, go ahead, Jeff.
My problem is, well, I have many problems with this movie, but right off the bat, the first, like, I think are especially the worst, because it's just like, it's him doing survival shit where he's like fighting off these CGI alien creatures. But it's not interesting. It's not done well.
He's like fighting off the dogs, and then yeah. He's fighting off the scorpion things. Yeah.
I love watching movies or TV shows where they show you someone going through a process of doing something and they don't explain it. I really love that. And it's, they're kind of doing that here, but it's
just like this dude thinks he's fucking Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, but like it's just nothing. Like, it's not interesting him fighting these things off, and they look terrible. Like, the CGI is a serious problem in this movie. It does not look up to snuff with 2013 CGI. I'm sorry, it just does not. I mean, maybe I guess I would have to watch a bunch of other movies from that era, but like, it looks now, it looks like it was from fucking 2001. Like, it looks terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the notes I have here. It's like the CGI is really, really bad.
It's a huge problem because like they use it a lot. The movie kind of just like looks like shit in general, I think. Like, it's
like so overly bright. It's like the contrast is ranked way up, but also everything is washed out. Like, there's no vibrancy to anything. So imagine for those listening along here, imagine what was it, Fury Road, Mad Max film, like
God,
that color scheme, but like with contrast, like just turned all the way up on your television, and then like the definition turned all the way down. So it's like everything just like flat looking and fake. Everything looks flat and fake.
Yeah, it does. And that's a problem throughout the whole fucking movie, pretty much.
I'm glad you mentioned that monologue, because like he continues throughout like the first 40 minutes of like he keeps giving like these, you know, he lays out like what's happening with the Necromongers, and I wrote this piece down because it's another voiceover he does. The line is just so terrible, but he delivers it like he believes in it, and it's here. So they drop him off. He's like, I want to go back to my home planet, Furia. So he kind of lays that out to Carl Urban. They go, yes. And then they kind of show him landing on this planet. He's like, but instead of Furia, we wind up someplace called Not Furia.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
That's one of his better lines, too. Like,
so stupid.
So another problem for me, and it's another huge problem for me, is I think Vin Diesel's kind of a dork, and
yes,
and you know, I appreciate it. Like, I know he's like a gamer and he's into like D&D and stuff, that's cool, but like, this feels like a 15-year-old, like, what's some cool, like, every line that he says in the movie is supposed to come off like an hasta la vista, baby, or I'll be back, right? But like, it's all so stupid, everything he says, and I just don't buy it. Like, I find Vin Diesel kind of silly. I guess I think a thing that hurt this movie a lot for me is like, I just think that Vin Diesel is kind of
he's bad. he's bad in this movie.
There are
movies that I like him in.
There is, but yeah.
He is bad in this movie. I mean,
him getting to lean into his like most 15-year-old dorky impulses. Like,
yeah. So yeah, all that happens, and then he ends up at this way station, or I guess it's like a bounty hunter station. I don't know what the fuck it is. They ends up at a fucking hut somewhere, and well, first he like him and his dog look out to the horizon, and there's like a storm coming, and he's like, "Oh shit, time to leave." Like, it's like, what does that mean?
Yeah,
because he doesn't lay it out, and in my head is like, oh crap, like he knows what this planet is, he knows where he is now, and it's the original planet from Pitch Black, and like that storm that's coming is going to make everything black, and the dark demon, the dark alien things are going to come out. That's not what it is, because this isn't that planet, and everything I thought I remembered about this film was not true. Except for one. So he ends up at this fucking like hut, and he basically calls the bounty hunters. He knows he has a bounty on him. So he just like says, hey, I'm fucking here.
He's way off this planet, right? He wants out of there. He figures if hostiles come, I'll kill them and take their ship.
And I guess like I don't know why, because he writes a note that says like, you know, leave one ship for me and you'll live, and like I take one ship, you all live, and there's only one ship at the start. So that doesn't make any sense. So I guess there's some sort of thing where you're supposed to have backup, so you're supposed to have another ship, and another ship does show up conveniently, and they start planning. That ship knows who they're hunting. The captain of that ship knows Riddick, knows who he is, because his son was a marshal on the first movie in Pitch Black. I don't know how you would know that. They don't really lay that out. But that guy brings in, like, they have a team. So there's two different teams here that are hunting Riddick. They don't like each other. One seems like a legitimate team of mercenaries and bounty hunters, and the other team is a bunch of jackasses that just do whatever. They don't get along, and Riddick starts picking them off one by one. It's not particularly good. Like, none of it, because like they never show anything. It's like, well, it all kind of happens off screen.
There was like a 5-minute stretch where I'm like, oh, this could be fun, because like he does like lay out traps, like these like bear traps, like giant bear traps, like,
yep.
When he gets caught, I'm like, oh, is this gonna be like just kind of like Predator or something, like two groups hunting each other, like, you know, him hunting these people, and then these two groups like kind of fighting amongst each other and hunting him. And it's like that. It took a while to get there, but I was like, oh, that could be a decent movie. And it doesn't do that after that. Like, it just kind of becomes more bullshit.
No, he lays out those traps. And I think they get one or two kills with it. then they're like, oh, do a sweep, get all those traps back. Like, and that's it. That's the end of that. The one thing I do remember about this movie, and it's all of about 30, not even 30 seconds, like maybe 3-5 seconds long, is Katie Sackhoff takes a shower and her boobs are out. Like, it's the only fucking thing I remembered about this movie. And there's no need for it.
That was not in my version of the
You didn't have it in yours?
No, I don't think so, unless I walked out of the fucking room.
So Riddick, he gets them all to separate. They're hunting his dog at that point. I don't know if you remember this part. Probably
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
So they're hunting his dog. So everybody leaves except for like the one guy who's running the other team, and Katie Sackhoff, who is second in command of the organized squad. For whatever reason, she decides she's going to take a shower, and Riddick is kind of like creeping around in the background. You never actually see him, but it's kind of just implied that he's there. And there's a hole through the bathroom door, wherever she's taking her shower, in the window. And she has laid out like some grooming stuff or whatever. And he takes something from that. And this is all for later, in where they finally catch him. And he says something about how he likes her nail polish, her toenail polish. It matches her tits.
Dude, speaking of like Goggins like lines, he at one point says, "I'm gonna go balls deep into doll, but only because she asked me." All sweet like. It's like, geez, dude.
Yes.
How are you doing an act? We're talking about going balls deep. That era was a different era, man. That was like the end of the early era of Twitter, right there. Like, Jesus
Christ, it's like you would not get away with some of dialogue today.
I mean, I used to do all this type of humor too, so like I get it. Like there was an era for that, but you're just like, at some point it's just like gross. Like, it's like, chill out, bro.
It's like, it's not really like, I mean, you still kind of get a chuckle out of it, because it's like, people were fucking dumb then. Like, that's kind of what the chuckle I got out of it was, like, man, we said some dumb shit, and I probably thought that was funny at the time too.
Dude, absolutely. Like, and you know, I'm not like a prude now. I just think one, you mature, but also I'm just like also old. Don't think about that stuff as much anymore. Like, I'm not like a horny 25-year-old or whatever. Like,
right. Not always. Like, not everything has to be a sex joke.
Just be normal.
Yeah. And like, she can just be a mercenary. Like, we don't need to, like, we don't need to call out her. Like, I think she says that she fucks chicks at some point. Like, we don't need to call out her sexuality. It doesn't matter. None of that. None of this matters. You could cut this film by like 20, 25 minutes if you cut out so much of this dumb bullshit.
Just the balls deep. Like, you know, it's stupid Vin Diesel voice. Like, Jesus,
man. Yeah. Man, it's like hard to like, because like, there is nothing. There is no real plot. It's just
barely a movie. It's barely.
Verdict's here. We need to catch them. Oh, he just kind of brings himself in. Like, and then he goes, hey, you're all going to die when the rain hits. So if you don't let me out, and like, I'll make a deal with you. I hope you all get out if you give me one of the ships.
Yeah,
I've already killed half of you.
He's still like the power nodes or something. Like, right? He like hid them somewhere, and he's like, hey, help me get, like, help me fix this problem I created, and we'll get out of here. And that's kind of like, it doesn't feel like a full movie, because that's all it is after that. It's like an hour of like world building and setup that is actually kind of poor, because I didn't like.
You didn't care about any of it.
When they did the flashback of him as of the king or whatever, I was like, wasn't this guy a prisoner? Like, what did I... Because I saw Chronicles of Riddick. I was like, what? And then it just goes... like, it's just like mercenaries trying to get him, and you think you're going to get this like group of mercenaries versus this badass movie, and you don't get that at all. You get them capturing him and being like, I stole your power nodes. You can't get out of here unless we work together. And then that's kind of it. Like, but it's just like, there's no, I don't know. It didn't feel like a full movie to me, despite the fact that it's a full 2 hours.
Yeah, it's a long movie. Like, it's very long. here's a line that I think you'll get a kick out of. This is from a review of the movie, and since we were just talking about how Vin Diesel, this came from The Wrap at the time, Says, if you were to make a comedy about an actor who makes cheesy sci-fi action movies, and you need a hilarious clip of his work that underscored the awfulness of his output, just about any 30-second segment of Riddick would do the trick here.
I agree. But you know what's funny about it is if you look at like Rotten Tomatoes and stuff, like this got pretty good reviews, and it was like, this is a return to the roots of the series. And I was like, I don't know how bad Chronicles of Riddick was.
It's bad.
Okay. Because I was like, to give this praise, I was just like, you're crazy. It's
so weird. Yeah, because I don't even think. I mean, I guess if you're like, oh, well, if we're comparing it to the last film in the series, this one's a major improvement, but it's still not good.
That's wild.
Oh my God. And to call it, like, you're right. Like, a lot of these reviews were like, yeah, this is, like, back to basics. It's back to, like, what the root of the franchise was. And it's like, it's not. Pitch Black was, and maybe I'm fully fucked up on this, and my memory is fried. Because it was fried about this movie as well. Because I thought this movie was that. I thought it was a back to basics, you know, alien monster movie.
You've grown, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, so as I said, I'm terrified to ever watch Pitch Black again.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever watch that. I would maybe watch Chronicles as a curiosity to see what the fuck that was, that they were like, this is a return to
such a mess.
That's crazy. That is really crazy.
It is such a mess of a film. Yeah, this is a bad movie. It ultimately wraps up with, as Jeff said, Riddick has created this problem where he's taken the power nodes, buried them in a fucking hole somewhere, and you have to go on a 20-minute bike ride to get there. Him and the leader of the one group and Dave Bautista, they all head out to go get this on some, like, these hover bikes. They get there. Dave Bautista betrays them. He's going to fuck them both over, get the bounty on Riddick and go home. And I don't know if Riddick kills him. Somebody kills him. Bautista dies. Riddick gets injured. And the guy leaves him behind. So then we get this. I think it's supposed to be like this, like, iconic shot of, like, Riddick on this hill fighting off these, like, scorpion creatures. But it just looks stupid. Then Riddick escapes. Like, they come back, save him, get him on the ship. I think they make another sex joke as Katie Sackhoff comes down on, like, a wire to get him. And
yeah, she repeats the thing he said.
Yeah, and then he goes away, and that's where it ends for you. It, like, cuts off there. Mine kept going, and he actually goes back to, you know, where he was king of these necromongers, and he kills the guy who left him on the planet.
So necessary. That's so crazy.
That they were like, hey, we should cut this piece of, like why it was even there.
You could have cut anything out of the first 20 minutes, but you're going to cut him going to get revenge on the guy that left him there? Like, okay.
And then they, like, kind of, so he kills that guy in the director's cut, and then he goes to one of the concubines and is like, where's the, you know, Carl Urban's character? And then they lay some, like, mumbo jumbo on how he's, like, transcended and he's both dead and alive. It's like, what the fuck is going on? And then you find out that they've been trying to get a fourth movie in this made since 2013.
I did see that.
Both him and Vin Diesel, both David Twohy and Vin Diesel, have been trying to get this made for over 12 years now. So I don't know. I would probably watch a fourth. Like, I'm a glutton for punishment. If they were to ever get this actually fucking made, and Wikipedia is saying that it began production in August 2024, so maybe it's coming. I would probably watch it as a curiosity just to see.
I just think that it's too silly. Like, it just doesn't work for me. I don't know. Like, it does. Like,
Vin it doesn't Diesel. Work as a monster movie. Doesn't work as a sci-fi action movie. It just doesn't work as a movie.
But just Vin Diesel as this character to me is just like, it's like a 15-year-old kid trying to copy the Terminator or something, like trying to copy an action hero, and like he just says like the part where he, like he steals a bike and this, he's like, I'll ride, or he takes a bike and this, he's like, I'll ride it like I stole it, and you're just like, dude, come on, dude, like it's just
this dude stupid. Is like. Stuck. He's stuck in 1995. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you just be happy that like you found a niche like with the Fast and Furious franchise. You never have to do shit again.
Yeah. I don't like those movies, but he's like he fits better in that. I don't know, like him trying to do the tough guy. I just kind of laugh at the things he said, like. His delivery and both what he's saying. I don't know, man. Like
Arnold fits in those roles, right? Like, and I think that's what he wants to be. He wants to be Arnold. He wants to be Sly. Yeah. Vin Diesel doesn't have any.
No.
And like everybody else in, like, I know you don't like the Fast and Furious movies, but everybody else in the Fast and Furious movies has some like charisma and charm. And they're fun to watch because of that. And like, he's kind of the joke of the movie, like it's his franchise and he's always like, you know, family, bro. And it's like, you're the clown, like nobody's coming to watch you, they're coming because they enjoy all the other characters in the movie,
but that's his baby at this point, you know what I mean? Like, so it's I'll just wrap it up, my thoughts, like, I think there's so many things that I dislike about this movie. I think the first 20 minutes suck, where he's like fighting off CGI creatures. I think the CGI sucks. Like, the effects are terrible in this. And it doesn't feel like a full movie. It's just like we start to go off on a mission and then it ends, even though it's 2 hours long. And the whole thing, like the look of it, the feel of it, feels like a video game adaptation, which is crazy, because if they actually adapted the video game they made of this series, it would probably be better. I really, like, there's very few redeeming qualities to this for me. It's like a 3 out of 10.
Well, that's exactly my score as well.
We fucking shit on the...
It's not good. Like, when I picked this, I was kind of excited. I was like, oh, man.
I haven't seen this since 2013.
Yeah. I was like, and I honestly, I remember liking it 12 years ago. And I mean, these seem evenly matched to me. Like, I remember liking them evenly. I came out of this going, Predators is like, it's not a great movie, but it's fucking entertaining. Fine.
Yeah,
it's a decent Predator movie. This is not. No, there's just nothing here. It's bad. Vin Diesel should just stick to his car movies, and that's it. We shouldn't. No more of this, please. Although, as I said, if they made one, I would probably watch it. I don't think I would go to the theater, but I would watch it once it hits streaming. Just for the total, like, what are they doing? How do they keep reviving this thing every 10 years? And who is watching it at this point?
I'll let you go when it comes out, and I'll let me know.
It's like, how bad is it? So I think that, it's pretty, there's a consensus here. Predators is better of these two movies.
Yes.
Predators is a movie. It's a full movie. And it's entertaining to watch. And I think both of us would say, you know, if you like Predators or sci-fi stuff, go watch that. It's a decent action movie.
It's like kind of underrated in the series. But yeah.
Stay away from Riddick.
Yeah. Yeah, Riddick. Riddick turned me off of that whole series. I'm good.
You are. Yeah, it's a shame. I have fond memories of Pitch Black, but I think I'll be avoiding that one. Jeff, what do we have for next month?
Well, we're going to do two recent movies.
Okay.
About death itself coming for you. So from 2025, we're going to do The Monkey. Okay. And then from 2025, we're going to do Final Destination Bloodlines. How do you like that?
I like that. When does Bloodlines come out?
It comes out May 16th, so we're good to go. And so it gives you a few weeks to check it out. And Chris, I know you've already seen The Monkey, so this could be an easy month for you if you don't want to revisit it.
Might rewatch it. The Monkey was a good time.
It's good. I bought it, but you know, I don't know if it's like streaming anywhere yet or soon. But you know, if you already, you know, you already seen it, so you don't have to.
But yes, so for people, Bloodlines is not available yet.
It's coming out theaters.
Yes. So if you want to watch along with us, you're going to have to go to the theater this time out.
Yeah.
And The Monkey, I'll tell you where that's available. Not The Monk. The Monkey. It is only available for rent currently, but you can get it for $9.99.
Oh, that's
just bad. About anywhere.
So it's regular digital price now.
Yeah.
I think it's coming to streaming somewhere at some point soon, but either way, again, Chris, if you want to like pay to rewatch it, you've seen it. And I figured you were probably going to see Final Destination, so I didn't feel too bad assigning a theater.
No, movie. I mean, I would, like, if you're like, hey, I want to go see this movie, I'm like, yeah, I'm in. I mean, I still have my A-list membership, so.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't done a ton of like stuff in theaters. I remember we did Candyman remake, the sequel.
Yeah.
But I'm such a huge fan of Final Destination, as goofy as it is. And I saw a little bit of The Monkey, like that new movie, The Monkey. And I was like, this is basically Final Destination. Let's put these against each other. Let's see what we think.
Good time.
Yeah.
Two brand new movies, so
yeah. So come back next month. We're gonna do some new movies about dying.